Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right now, with 88,000 people without power, customers, let's put it that, more people than that, but it's 88 customers, 88,000, waiting to get the power back on. So here it goes. Want to introduce her?
Yeah, it's Marissa Gillette. She is the chairwoman of the state's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority, better known as PURA. Marissa, good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Well, first off, the most important question, how long did you lose power for?
I got back power sometime on Saturday, but not before I sent my four-year-old twins off to stay with their grandparents. So how about you?
I got it back Thursday. Ray, I don't think everybody
I never lost
it. So
strange, but it's true.
In your mind, in your opinion, what has been the biggest faux pas that Eversource has committed in this whole event, which obviously was a huge storm, but we've had huge storms before.
Yeah, I think clearly the biggest faux pas from my perspective is just the lack of communication and transparency about what has taken place. The outage reporting system that was down for several days at the start of the storm and the inability of Eversource to clearly communicate with its customers as well as elected officials and its community liaisons has been a real point of contention, and I think it's going to be a focal point of our investigation.
Well, yeah, and that was the point. There, a number of people got together from the towns, various towns, and went, hey, we're supposed to have somebody like assigned to us who's going to tell us what the situation is in our town, but I don't think we ever heard from them, really.
Yeah, the community liaison program that Eversource has told me so much about since I moved to Connecticut last year for this job. It definitely did not impress me in real time. And I think, I just think that that's going to have to be something that we take a more direct role in moving forward because it certainly fell down this time around.
There seemed to be a real disconnect in what the meteorologists were predicting. And look, let's be honest, they're not perfect. And what Eversource was expecting from this storm. And that seemed to be a big issue. Am I correct?
That is how it appears right now. Eversource and UI are entitled to their day in court before PURA. But I don't know how you look at the situation and the event that they prepared for and think that that marries up to the predictions that the state meteorologists were providing. So it just appears that they were looking at something totally different than what the rest of us were.
Marissa, so now, okay, you have your hearings. You try and figure, you know, what they're going to say, being Eversource and UI for that matter. Oh, we cut our trees back. We tried to, you know, get trees away from lines and all this. It just didn't work. But, okay, so obviously, clearly. But, I mean, the point is now what can you do? I mean, is there anything you can do as PURA?
Sure, absolutely. So the governor recruited me here from Maryland for this, you know, very issue to modernize the grid and make it more resilient and reliable. We had storms. We had a derecho in Maryland in 2011, yep, and our utilities reacted totally differently. And starting last October, we convened the Equitable Modern Grid Proceeding to start to bring in third parties and private capital that that could make the grid more accessible to consumers and more decentralized. So it's not going to make consumers feel good that we already knew what the problems were and have been working on them. But there are solutions out there. We can look at undergrounding and whether that's more cost effective than vegetation management. There's a whole host of things that we can and should continue to look at. Coincidentally, the proposals that I asked for to do some of those things came in on July 31st.
Well,
so it's underway, and it's just something that I'm going to have to accelerate even more than we already were.
Talking to Marissa Gillette, she's the chairwoman of the state's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority, talking about the Isaias and the damage it's leveled in Connecticut and the response of the main utility company. I hear what you're saying, Marissa, and it all sounds well and good, but if you lived in the state through the snowstorm, the October snowstorm in 2011, you heard the same sort of things being said by other people, and it didn't seem like anything got done. What's going to be different this time around?
I think what's going to be different this time around is that I'm at the helm. I have a proven track record in Maryland that folks can go look up for themselves and see how we were able to hold the utilities accountable there. We're going to commit to putting out a firm timeline for those hearings and next steps by the end of this week. And I encourage folks to stay engaged with us, because part of the problem with the energy world is it's so wonky and it's so nuanced that but it's hard to retain the level of stakeholder participation that's really needed. We're a small state agency up against companies that employ executives making millions of dollars a year, and I really need the public's participation and engagement to help bring about new ideas and counterpoints to what the utilities are providing. And I think we have a real chance and a momentum right now, and I intend to seize on that, and I look forward to people holding me accountable personally by the time that this is over.
Well, the weird thing, Marissa, is and this is Joe, as he referred to the October, November snowstorm years ago, a couple of years ago, is that, a lot of suggestions are made. We got to cut back more trees. Okay, we're doing that. What about the deal about burying wires, though? That seems to me is going to be really expensive. Anybody else doing it, Marissa?
Sure. So burying lines in the industry has the touch point that you normally hear about is it's $1 million a line, a mile to bury a line. That's a rough average. If you look, I think what we need to do now is say, okay, we know how many millions of dollars we've spent on vegetation management and storm recovery since 2011. If we had buried those same miles of line, would we be in the point that we're in right now? I think, I understand that they looked at it after the 2011 snowstorms and decided it wasn't cost effective. But did we know at that time that there were going to be this acceleration of storms moving forward? Maybe not. And instead of rebuilding the system twice a year every time we have a storm, it could be more cost effective in the long run to underground. And other states are doing that. Other states have laws that any new development must be undergrounded. Anytime you have a feeder that experiences more than a certain number of outages a year, that must be undergrounded. You don't have to underground the entire system. It's about strategically picking out points of the system that are notoriously weak and moving those underground to withstand the next storm.
Finally, I thought Eversource was incredibly tone deaf when they said, well, yeah, the costs of all the restoration stuff, you'll see them in your next bill. I mean, to me, to say that, well, there's 87,000 people still without power, just shows a lack of understanding.
Not only a lack of understanding, but I feel it's personally dismissive of me and my role. They will absolutely not put it on your next bill unless that makes it through my agency. They have to prove to me, as well as all the interveners in the proceeding, that what they did to prepare for that storm was prudent and in the best interest of ratepayers. And I think the rest of the state's going to join me in saying that that's a high bar that they need to overcome.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of – I'm glad you're there, to tell you the truth. So we'll see. Surprises coming in the mail. But they if they're going to start tagging the cost of repairing this system, then it's got to go through you.
It does.
Okay. Well, let us know. We'll be around.
Marissa, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your interest, and please keep in touch and hold me accountable. Important.
All right. We will. Thanks, Marissa. Marissa Gillette, Chairwoman of Connecticut's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.